Well, I do have a short story for you today. And I try to get my jokes connected to the message, and this one is a bit of a stretch. But we're going to be talking about friends today, so this is a story about a man's best friend. A fellow was reading the local paper, and he saw an ad in there that there was a talking dog for sale at the local pet shop. And he says, "A talking dog? That's wild. I got to go down there and check this out." So he goes over to the pet store, and he sees the owner. He says, "Where is this talking dog that's in the ad?" And the owner says, "Come with me." And he leads him to the back of the store, and sitting in the cage is this beautiful German shepherd. And so the guy looks at the dog, and he says, "Hey, big fella, what do you got to say for yourself?" And the dog looks at him and says, "Well, I spent most of my life in the canine patrol for the armed forces. I spent 3 years as a service animal. And now I just pretty much go out on Saturday nights to the seniors' home and I sing songs to them." And the guy looks and he says, he's just flabbergasted. His jaw drops. He says, "That's wild. That's incredible." And he turns to the owner. He says, "How could you possibly let go of this animal?" And the owner says, "He's a liar. He never did any of those things." We continue today with our short series based on Beatles music, and our talk topic is "With a Little Help from Our Friends." And I want to start off by sharing a bit of a confession with you, something about myself, and that is I never really felt much of a connection with my family. And when I say family, I'm talking about my extended family, my uncles, aunts, cousins, and that sort of thing. And just being really honest with you, for most of my life, I just didn't feel like we had anything in common. And on top of that, I really thought they were all very weird. In fact, on those times when I did go to family gatherings, which I would do mostly to placate mom and my siblings, when I would go to those family gatherings, I would show some of my distaste on the way there by humming the theme to the Addams Family show. Da-da-da-dun, 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 da-da-da-dun. And I would continue that until my then wife Phyllis said, "Will you just please stop?" And I share this with you because it really is a type of confession, because the truth of the matter is what I was thinking and the way I was acting really was not very kind and really was not very nice. But beyond that, I later would come to an appreciation that I was missing a really important point: the incredible value of family, the incredible value of friends, the incredible value that there is in communion. And I think that all of you could relate to this, because whatever your own circle of relationships might be, with your family or friends, you have an appreciation for a strong bond between yourself and other people. Even if you don't have that bond, it's something that you would like to have and something that you really do value. And so we're going to get into that a little bit. But first, I want to talk about another story, a biblical story. This is the story about Martha and Mary. And as the story goes, Jesus drops in on Martha and Mary. And these are two ladies who happen to be sisters. And he comes to their home for a visit and he sits down, and it's not long until Mary takes a position and sits at the feet of Jesus. And she is focused 100% on him and hanging on every word that he says. And meanwhile, Martha is taking this all in, and she is not happy. She is so concerned about all of the things that need to get done, all of the preparations that need to be made, you know, the cooking and the cleaning of the house or whatever. And so she complains to Jesus. She said, look at everything that I have to do here, and Mary's not lifting a finger. Can you please tell her to get up and give me a hand? And Jesus tells Martha, Martha, you are concerned with the small things, with the little things. Mary has chosen to be with me in this now moment, and she has chosen more wisely. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. But it's also very important to understand the total context of the message. I mean, this is a gospel story that frequently is used by people, that is quoted by people when they're trying to communicate to others the priority that we should have. That it's important, first and foremost, for us to sit at the feet of Jesus, or to put it in unity speak, to connect with that Christ essence, both within and without. And I go along with that 100%. And I think that this gospel story makes an excellent case to remind us to set aside the time and a place to go into prayer and into meditation so that we can connect with that oneness. What that story is not saying is that Mary should spend the rest of her existence at the feet of Jesus. What that story is not saying is that what Martha was about and concerned about, the story is not saying that those things were insignificant or unimportant. And what that story is not saying is that all of the turmoil and all of the stuff that we have to go through as we live our lives and as we are busy ourselves, working our jobs, getting the kids to school, going to school or whatever, is unimportant or insignificant. Because let's face it, the reality of life is that those things are upon us all of the time. And nobody in their right mind would get up and say, you don't have to be concerned about them. That's just not the way life works. Being interconnected is not something that could be restricted or limited. As you grow in consciousness or have a consciousness of being one with the oneness, you come to an understanding that it means being one with everything. This is not something that is selective. Nothing exists outside of the circle of spirit. And we may think and we may try to put things outside of that circle, but when we do that, all that we succeed in doing is denying our really true self with a capital S. Do you remember back when you were kids? I know it was a long time ago. And you would get in an argument with somebody and the names would start being called, you know? And we would have those really sharp retorts, those comebacks, like, yeah, it takes one to know one. Or, if I'm one, you're one too. Well, who knew back then that when we were mouthing these things, we were really expressing an incredibly profound spiritual principle? Because it's true. If I'm one, you're one too. And if you're one, I'm one too. Being part of a family and knowing that you're part of a family and willingly acknowledging that you are part of a family is really an important thing. Even if your family is dysfunctional like mine was, and I suspect every family is, at least to a certain extent. each of us has a dual need. Each of us has a need to be supportive of others. Each of us has a need to be supported by others. God created Eve because Adam was lonely, and he needed somebody that would allow him to express his true nature, who he really was, his inner Christ light, in and through and by means of a relationship. This is the underlying power of being part of a church community. You know, and a phrase that's been popular the last decade or so is, I'm spiritual but not religious. And generally when somebody's expressing that, what they're really saying is, I don't need to go to church. Well, does it mean that you cannot be spiritual outside of a church community? No, of course not. Does it mean that it's a bit more difficult if you don't make a strong commitment to a church family? Yes, I really think that it does, absolutely. But I would make the point here that the church community that you're part of is very important. You know, it has to be a community that is more than just going through the motions or participating in rituals that don't have shared meaning and shared thought. Real church is about family. Real church is about communion. Real church is about being there for one another. Real church is being supportive. Real church means creating a secure environment so that everybody is free to say when they are down and out, hey, I'm in some trouble here, and I really need some help. The early Christians had an earmark to them. I wasn't there, but the way I understand it is late in the first century, people would point to Christian communities and to Christians in general and make the observation, see how they love one another. And it's really kind of fascinating, because when you are really involved in an honest-to-goodness, solid church community, what you begin to see is that the spiritual DNA of that family begins to supersede and actually begins to transcend even biological family DNA. There's another fascinating story in the gospel, and Jesus is in a room with a bunch of people that he knows, a bunch of followers, and he's teaching them and their friends, and all of a sudden somebody comes in to let him know, hey, Jesus, your family's outside. And Jesus kind of goes, making a gesture, pointing to the people he's with, saying, well, I don't understand, I'm with my family. This is the type of reality that being part of a church family can create for us. What being part of a strong church family brings to us is a regular opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, or a regular opportunity to be really immersed in spirit. What being part of a church family brings to us is an opportunity to grow in the awareness of the interconnectedness that each and every one of us shares. What being part of a church family brings to us is the opportunity to answer that question that we heard in the song, a response to that, I want somebody to love. And it answers the question, well, can it be anybody? All of what I've been talking about is that family, particularly a church family, facilitates the opportunity to experience the Christ as Mary did. But it gives us something else too. Every close-knit family that has ever been absolutely has a Martha component to it. And remember, Jesus wasn't saying that what Martha was about was insignificant or unimportant. Jesus' comment to Martha just indicated that we always should have that readiness to enter into that loving atmosphere, first and foremost, as our top priority. You can be part of a loving family, whether it's your natural family, your biological family, a church family, a family of classmates, a family that consists of the community in which you live. Regardless of how loving and caring and special that family is, somebody always has to take out the garbage. And I use that phrase this morning, take out the garbage, as a metaphor, because it includes all kinds of things. It includes going to the grocery store to do the shopping. It includes preparing dinner, making dinner. It includes cleaning up after dinner. It includes washing the windows once in a while and keeping the house nice and clean. It includes getting the kids off to school, and it might include getting Grandpa into the car and taking him off so he could honor his doctor's appointment. And on and on and on and on. All of these things that I'm talking about are Martha things. And all of these things that I'm talking about are really important. And you can't really be a member of the family, a good member of the family, unless you do your part and you do your chores. If we're constantly bugging out of this, then that what we are really doing is we are weakening the connection between ourselves and other people in the family. You cannot really feel the interconnectedness with the oneness with Spirit unless you have a mindset that in everything and everybody that you connect with and everything that you do is absolutely about God, including taking out the garbage. I have stood on this platform before, and I have sung your praises, because it's really, really true. The consciousness of this church is nothing short of remarkable. I have been involved in other churches, both in and out of Unity, and I have never seen a consciousness like I've seen here. When I brag about you people to other Unity ministers, and when family and friends ask me how it's going, what's the church like, I brag about the wonder of you people, individually and collectively. Because I noticed, this is something that was my motivation when Jan asked me to please return and join her as a co-minister. And this was part of my motivation when I decided, yeah, I really do want us to stay on and serve as your minister. All that has to happen in this church is for some indication, for some light to go on, some whiff of trouble for one of us in this congregation. And you folks get in line. And you say, I'm here. I want to help. What can I do? This is the consciousness of Mary, front and center. And I truly am humble to be a part of it because it's magnificent. In your report card on the Martha side of the ledger, that also is really, really positive. The percentage of congregants that we have that volunteer in one shape or form, in one capacity or another at this church, is absolutely remarkable. You people go the extra step all of the time, the extra mile all of the time. Look at the work that's been done in this church in recent weeks trying to get these bathrooms together. And it's not just that, it's in so many areas. Does it mean that everything is hunky-dory and perfect and that we don't need more help? No, of course not. You know, I could tell you for sure that Mary downstairs could really appreciate another body or two to help her with the kids' church. And we could really use another body or two to volunteer and help out, you know, with the usher greeter ministry. And it's not something that you have to sign up to be there every single week. If you're available once a month or even once every other month, put yourself out there. And we're approaching that time of the year when it's not going to be long, when somebody's going to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, would you please consider running for the board? Because it's really important that we have a strong board, a board that is empowered, a board that's a partner in participating in providing light and direction for our congregation so that we could grow spiritually and otherwise. And don't be surprised if somebody looks you in the eye and says, you know, I have to tell you, I just think you would make an absolutely splendid prayer chaplain in our church. Because it's always important to introduce the newness. When we participate in some of these things that I'm talking about, it's our own little version of taking out the garbage, doing the things that need to be done, doing the things that need to be attended to. And when you do that, I know it's maybe hard to picture, but it's so true. When you do that, what you are really doing is making the communion with oneness a little more real. When you participate like this, you're really making the connection with oneness, that connection with spirit, just a tiny bit more tangible. In unity, there's a strong emphasis on thinking or on thought. You've heard the expression, change your life one thought at a time. There's not been such a strong emphasis in unity about the connection of changing your life one thought at a time and the community aspect of church. Maybe that's an unfortunate neglect. Because I don't care who you are or what you do, at one point or another, you're in trouble and you need a friend. At one point or another, you are called upon to answer the role of being a friend. Because friends and community and relationships, those are the things that get us through the rough spots. And even though it sounds simple, change your life one thought at a time, that is something that could be really, really difficult. Having somebody to love and having somebody present to love you changes that all around. Yeah, the work is still there. But now it's a work of awe, a work of mysticism, a work of wonder, a work that is empowering and powerful. I go back to the lyrics of the song. I was going to sing it, but I think not. What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? No. No chance. We're in this together. If I'm one, you're one too. And if you're one, I'm one too. And we'll get by with a little help from our friends. Let's take this to prayer and meditation.